Nosweth Arbawb, and very warm welcome to the Wales Millennium Centre for this evening's event. My name's Oriel Miller and I'm the director of the IWA. For those of you who may not know who we are a think tank and membership organisation. We publish the longest standing current affairs magazine in English in Wales, The Welsh Agenda, which members receive for free. And we do three things essentially. One is we offer a platform for robust comment and debate, independent comment and debate. We also provide support and are thinking increasingly about how we enable other voices to be heard in public debate in Wales. So we're starting a new Voices Fund, for instance, for our Welsh agenda. We also seek financial and political commitments to what we call bright ideas that will transform the future of Wales. And those are around three different strands. One, what does a strong, confident democracy look like in a modern Wales? Secondly, high-performing, responsive public services. And thirdly, what's a successful, clean, green and fair economy for Wales? So our research and policy work is under each of these strands. I'm really pleased to be chairing, hosting, partnering with Qualifications Wales on this event. I'm going to run through a little bit of housekeeping first. For those of you who have foregone the game this evening, thank you. First of all, for those of you who are hoping to make a quick getaway a bit later on, be warned the tunnels are closed from 7:45, but we won't take it personally if you want to disappear off. But we will be asking everybody who leaves, have you filled in the consultation? So just to be aware of that. Mobile phones, could they be on silent, please? Could you tweet as much as you wish? It's qualified for the future hashtag here and the Welsh next door to it. I don't think there are any fire alarms planned, but there are performance alarms planned this evening because there's an event on in the WMC. So I think there will be bells at 6:30 and at 6:50. So don't be alarmed, they're for other people, not for us, unless you're planning on going to that too. Obviously, Qualifications Wales' consultation on the future of qualifications launched yesterday, so it's a particularly timely event. And we're going to be encouraging people to engage with that, and Emma is going to be running through a set of questions. Now, I'm going to just move us on. That's me. Could you all please check your phones and make sure that you can access that ready for later? Okay, so just let's do the techie bit now so we make the most of Emir's time in a short while. I'll keep talking meantime. There are also breakout sessions, and I've warned the back three tables that we're going to be all be coming to the front six tables to do those breakout sessions together a bit later on. So we want to get as much participation as possible. This is just one in a series of engagement exercises, obviously, that Qualifications Wales are doing. It is not the be-all and end-all of the whole process. It's just the start. So all feedback is very welcome. I'll run you through how the mechanics of the breakout sessions will work a little bit later on. Many of us will have both personal and professional reasons for being interested in the topic for this evening. My personal one is that my seven-year-old will be in the second intake of people doing the new qualifications, whatever those qualifications are, in 2023 by the time he comes around. He'll be in the intake that for whom it will apply. So it'll be interesting from a family perspective, seeing different children coming through different systems. I'm of the O-level generation. I suspect there may be a few other O-levels amongst us. I don't have a GCSE. And thinking through how Wales is changing, how the world of work and the world of learning is changing as Wales, is what this evening is all about. So we may not ourselves be personally affected by what comes next, but what we're doing here is shaping the future for the people of Wales and the diverse peoples of Wales as well in our amongst us all. So it's very important that we think about, we can't conceive of what the future is going to look like. Wales has already changed and is already changing around us. So we need to think about all sorts of different angles and think carefully about what kind of future our children are going to inhabit. I'm going to hand over now to Philip Blaker, who is the Chief Chief Executive of Qualifications Wales, and has been in that role for 4 years now. So you beat me by a year, Philip, after joining Welsh Government on an interim basis in a year before that. You'll all have the biographies in your packs, so I'm not going to run through all of that in detail. But I think it'd be really interesting to hear from Philip on that delivery of large-scale system change and what that means. Philip, over to you.
Thank you, Auriel. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us here this evening. I just wanted to say a few words by way of introduction before Emir takes you through some of the sort of key points of what we're consulting on at the moment. First of all, thank you to IWA. It's great for us to partner with you as well. It's really important that we hear a range of voices, and as Auriel said, we're just starting a process of consultation at the moment. So our consultation was launched yesterday and it's going to go on for 12 weeks. We're hoping to get lots of responses to it because there are lots of important questions that we're asking. I thought I'd start by telling you a little bit about us. So Qualifications Wales is the independent regulator for qualifications in Wales. We have a particular focus on non-degree qualifications, particularly those ones that are eligible for public funding. And there are quite a few of those. And if you read our consultation, you may be surprised to see there are really quite a few of those that are available to schools to take. But a large part of what's taken at the moment is GCSEs. They form a core of qualifications. So we work with lots of different organisations. We work with schools, we work with our fellow regulators, with employers, and it's really nice to see a wide range of people here today as well representing organisations. So thank you for those that have come to represent organisations. We were established in 2015 through the Qualifications Wales Act, and many of us here, from my colleague Emir and I, we were there from the very beginning, so we've seen it all the way through. A large part of our work is the reform of qualifications. So we have one part of our work which is about regulating awarding bodies, and we have another part of our work which is looking at the range of qualifications and undertaking reforms in those areas. So since we started, we took over the current round of GCSE and A-level reforms halfway through. So for many, as we're starting to look at reforms for schools for 16-year-olds now, one of the things to remember is we've only just seen the last tranche of qualifications that were assessed for the first time this summer. So there have been new qualifications being assessed from 2017, 2018 and 2019. Schools may be looking at this now and thinking, oh, we're settled for a little bit, and you know, we're starting again. The big advantage is we're starting again now with a long sight forward to where we're going. So it gives us an opportunity to have a really well-managed change. So a lot of our work is quite technical. It's very interesting. It's very varied. One of the things that we do is we offer advice to ministers. And part of the consultation that we'll be looking at today affects education policy, and it'll affect advice that we're going to offer to the minister next year, next spring. We do a lot, as I've already said, in the way of reforms to qualifications. So I want to give you a couple of examples of those. I mentioned GCSEs and A-levels, which we've already been reforming. Since we started, we've been looking at vocational qualifications as well, and we've been looking at those on a sector-by-sector basis. So we've already started by reforming qualifications in health and social care, and there are new qualifications that are available to schools and colleges from this year and also from next year. We've recently commissioned new qualifications for construction and the built environment. We're developing new GCSE and A-level in digital technology. We're in the middle of a review of engineering, advanced manufacturing and energy sectors. So these are all important sectors for the Welsh economy. And we're about to, next year, start a review looking at travel, tourism, hospitality and allied sectors around those areas. But tonight is very much around the new curriculum and looking at what the qualification offer should look like for schools to be part of the new curriculum. And this is really our first step forward in looking at what our part is in fulfilling the vision that Professor Donaldson put forward in Successful Futures. And a lot of schools will be looking at this so that they can understand and can contextualise those curriculum changes with regard to qualifications. So we're asking some fundamental questions that will underpin our work for the next few years, actually. And Oriel was right, we're looking at qualifications here that will be first taught in schools to 14-year-olds in September of 2025 and will be first assessed in summer of 2027. So that gives you an idea of the sort of the journey that we'll be going through. And it's why we're starting the conversations now and starting to understand what the underpinning principles will be so that we can secure those changes in plenty of times, in plenty of time for schools to get ready. So last thing from me was just to let you know that we're looking forward to your contribution this evening. We've engaged a research company, ARAD, to undertake the analysis of the consultation for us. And we've got a representative from ARAD here tonight. So that means that your collective voices will feed into the consultation and we'll be in a position to reflect tonight's dialogue as we think about the conclusion of our consultation later on in February. So I'm going to hand over to my colleague Emir now, who's going to take us through the work, explain our thinking so far, and these are early thoughts, and there's a lot more work to do in this area. But we also would like to show you a film, which is a...
Good evening. So hopefully that gives you a flavour of what I'll be talking to you about now over the next few minutes. And essentially, as Philip has just been outlining, although those of you who are perhaps involved in education and in delivering qualifications, or you have family members who are taking qualifications, it may feel that qualifications are always changing. And we're very conscious of that. But with the advent of the new curriculum, we are looking at what are arguably the most significant changes to education in Wales since devolution. And so we really see this as a major opportunity to look again at why we have qualifications for 16-year-olds and how we can make sure that the qualifications we have in the future are fit for the future, are right for the young people who will be taking them. And now is the time, really, to start thinking about how we can make sure that we're in the right place when this new curriculum comes through and when the new learners who've had the benefit of experiencing it are reaching that crucial stage where they're starting to think about which qualifications to take and studying for those qualifications. So what I'm going to try and do in the next 10 minutes is set a record for how quickly and how coherently I can talk through and give you an overview of what is in the consultation that we published yesterday. What I won't be doing is going through what the curriculum entails. I'm sure you've all heard about that. The IWA did an excellent event on that. Was it earlier this year? Yeah, no. And so I'm taking it as read that you're familiar with the curriculum, but perhaps you haven't had a chance yet to get your head around what it is we're consulting on at the moment. Although I would encourage you to go when you have time to look at our website, and as well as the main consultation, which is online, we have a youth-friendly version and we have an easy-read version. There are lots of ways in which people can access the proposals and the thinking that we're putting out there to seek people's views on those. And although the youth-friendly one is youth-friendly, I think of it more as a reader-friendly one. It really quickly helps you to get across what it is we're proposing and what we're consulting on at the moment. So we've boiled it down to five key points that we're covering off in our consultation document. And the first one is, as I say, this is a major opportunity for us in Wales to think about what qualifications our young people are going to need in the future. It's a significant undertaking. It's certainly one that we're not going to be able to do on our own, and it's one that we're looking to collaborate and to hear views on far and wide. To help guide us through what will be an extended period of work, we've developed a vision for what it is we're striving for, and that's up there on the slide for you to take a look at. Hopefully everybody would probably be agreed that that is something worthwhile to be aiming for. In the consultation, and before I get on to thinking about what that vision might look like and how we might get there, we do look at the question of the need for qualifications that are designed to be taken by 16-year-olds at the end of their compulsory education. We're not putting a proposal out there around this or asking a particular consultation question, mainly because ultimately this is a question of national policy and one for government. But as the independent regulator of qualifications, we think it's right for us to have a view on this, and it's actually a useful starting point to think about what do we want qualifications to be like in the future. As things stand, we see that there is a very strong argument for continuing to have qualifications that are designed specifically for 16-year-olds, because although the vast majority, I'm pleased to say, of young people will continue beyond 16 in some form of education, training, learning, whether that be in college or in sixth form or in work-based learning, they get on to that further learning through making some really important decisions. And qualifications can have an important part to play in helping them to take those decisions. And the way in which we design qualifications and the way in which they're taught and delivered can also help young people to think about and become more aware of and informed about the decisions that they're going to have in front of them to make when they reach that milestone of 16. So we're not sort of asking for views on this, and although as a general consultation exercise, we're absolutely open to views on everything in the document. But this is our starting point. We think there is a clear case for qualifications, and the big questions for us are around which qualifications, what kinds of qualifications do we want, what do we want them to do for us and for our young people. So, first thing to say is, the curriculum, as I say, is a significant development and a significant set of reforms. And we're very clear that what we want to see is a set of qualifications that are available to schools for them to choose from when they're putting together the offer that they think is right for their learners, as well as in other settings, other centres, to think about what qualifications they want to choose for their learners as they're thinking about how they are going to enact this new curriculum. So these are qualifications to support the new curriculum that should be guided by all the work that has gone into the thinking about what it is we want young people at 16 to have covered, to have achieved, to represent as they reach the end of their compulsory education. That said, there's one important point to make, and that is to say that we think the new curriculum and education in general is about more than just qualifications. Being the independent qualifications regulator means that we end up talking about qualifications an awful lot. But that doesn't mean to say that we think that they are the be-all and end-all. And we think it's really quite important as part of this work that we're absolutely clear about the limitations of what qualifications can do and where there may sometimes be an argument for not having or having fewer qualifications where actually they're not necessarily serving the best interests of our young people. So they do have an important part to play, but we're absolutely clear that they're not the only thing that we should be thinking about in the wider sense. What I've got there, I'm sure you'll recognise them, are the four purposes of the curriculum, and they are absolutely, therefore, the starting point for thinking about what we want from qualifications in the future. One thing that Philip touched on earlier is that, at the moment, there are a very great many qualifications that are available to schools and to other centres that we regulate. At any one time, depending on where you look, there are between 1,600 and 2,000 qualifications that are eligible for public funding that a publicly funded centre could choose to offer to their learners if they wanted to. That is an awful lot. And when you start digging, you actually see that a very great number of those qualifications are often not taken by any learners at all. So although they sort of exist on our database and that they're notionally available out there, they're not actually serving any real purpose because nobody is actually studying for them. So we do think that there is a case for seeking to bring about a more streamlined, focused and coherent set of qualifications that make a great deal more sense to those who are thinking about how they're going to bring this curriculum to life and what is actually needed for our young people. The question, of course, is how do we do that? And there'll be a lot of decisions that we need to take along the way to get us from where we are now to that more coherent and relevant and streamlined set of qualifications. So what we're proposing in this consultation are some key principles that will underpin our approach as we move forward with this work. And they're up here on the slide. We're proposing that all qualifications in future that are eligible for public funding for 16-year-olds should be clear about how they relate to and how they support the new curriculum. We're not going to stipulate how they should do that, but we think qualifications and awarding bodies offering qualifications, putting them forward to be eligible for public funding, should make the case for why these qualifications are right for young people and how are they going to support the curriculum, so that when schools are choosing which qualifications to offer and when students are choosing which ones to study, there's more clarity about that choice, to inform that choice, to see how it will help move any given young person forward on their journey. The second one up there is that these qualifications should all be available bilingually. Stands to reason, you might think, a somewhat obvious point, but we're a far cry from that at the moment when you actually look at what qualifications are out there and the medium in which they're available. So this, from our point of view, is quite a significant proposal, principle to be proposing, because it signifies that we would significantly strengthen our regulations, our requirements on awarding bodies, so that the expectation at the outset is that if you're seeking public funding in Wales, then you're going to make your qualification available bilingually. That won't be without its challenges. It is quite a big departure from where we are now. And so this is a principle at this stage. We will need to do more work to look at the detail of how we put that into practice and how we make sure that we do that with the best interests of learners firmly in sight. And finally, we think that all qualifications available at 16 should form part of a coherent range of qualifications. And that means that when we're making decisions about which qualification should be eligible for public funding, we'll not only look at each individual qualification being put forward, but we'll be trying to find ways to think about how that qualification fits with the other qualifications that are available to enrich the offer, and that there's clarity there about how that qualification can be offered alongside other qualifications or taken alongside other qualifications as part of a meaningful programme of study. So those are the principles that we're proposing and we're asking for views on as part of this consultation. There's a couple more areas that we're asking questions on at this initial consultation. Philip's already mentioned them. We can't really talk about qualifications designed for 16-year-olds without talking about GCSEs. And in this consultation, we have a proposal about a way forward that we think will help to bring a certain degree of clarity and certainty to the work ahead, because there are an awful lot of questions yet to be answered, but where we can, we'd like to bring some certainty to the work as quickly as we can, while allowing plenty of opportunity for everybody to have their say on which way we're going. So, GCSEs. As we said in that video earlier, we're clear that there is an opportunity here, in fact, a need for us to think about how qualifications we have now evolve, change, adapt, so that they're better reflecting what we're anticipating will be the needs of future learners in Wales. But we think we can make those changes and go on that journey without throwing everything up in the air and starting from scratch. We've given this quite a bit of thought, and so our proposal is that we should keep the GCSE name, that we should still have qualifications that are called GCSEs, because that name in itself has a great deal of value. It carries with it public confidence and trust, and from all the work and research that we've done of late, looking at public perceptions, that's been borne out in that research. These are trusted, familiar concepts. When we talk about GCSEs, people understand the currency, if you like, of these qualifications and the grades that you get from sitting these assessments. So we think there is a case for keeping the GCSE name. There's something fundamentally important about how they are designed. They're inherently inclusive and accessible. They're designed to be accessible by the majority of the cohort at 16. What not everybody realises is that they already include quite a range of different kinds of assessment methods. But what we have an opportunity to do here is to look at how we can maybe broaden that range or make a greater use of that range of different assessment methods across the suite of qualifications, so that we're better reflecting, if you like, the skills and the ambitions and the learning that's set out in the new curriculum for our young people. And the other thing that it allows us to do is to target and focus our changes. So we can look at what needs to change, we can think about how we plan for that change, and we can bring changes in more incrementally, focusing on what needs to change first and then perhaps having a basis for a more evolutionary and a more managed process of change by keeping the GCSE name. So those are all the benefits and the reasons why we think it's a good idea, and we're suggesting it as a way forward, but we're not just sort of going for a rose-tinted view of what this might mean. We're absolutely aware that there might be some downsides to this approach. GCSEs, they're well-established, yes, but they come with quite a lot of assumptions, preconceptions, behaviours. They already play a very dominant part in our education system, not least in things like school accountability measures. So we are keen to know from people whether they think this is the right way to go, or whether this is something that might inhibit schools' ability or propensity for making the most of the flexibility that the new curriculum offers them. So this is a genuine consultation exercise, and we're interested to hear what people think about this proposal. There's other things that people might be concerned about with GCSEs. For example, we've got a grading scale of A star to G, which is different in other jurisdictions, and many people consider anything below a C not to be a very good outcome, even though you've still got a GCSE certificate at the end of the day. So there's plenty of reasons why people might want to tell us that we should reconsider the proposed approach as part of this exercise. Finally, we also talk in this consultation about the Skills Challenge Certificate, which is the centrepiece of the Welsh Baccalaureate, which I'm sure you've all heard about and no doubt have views on. What we're suggesting here is we've already started some work to think about how the design of a skills-based qualification like the Skills Challenge Certificate could be improved and strengthened. We're thinking, our view is that if you look at the new curriculum, our view is that there is still a clear need and a case to be made for having a qualification like the Skills Challenge Certificate that prioritises and focuses on the development of what the new curriculum calls wider skills, things like team working, critical thinking, problem solving, that in addition to trying to assess those things in other qualifications, that it's worthwhile having a qualification that really focuses on the development of those skills. And so we're proposing in this consultation that we should press ahead with the work that we've already started to redevelop a qualification in that area that will serve learners now and in the future when the new curriculum comes in. So those are what we're those are the proposals that we're consulting on at this stage, and we're also using this document to outline all the things that have yet to, that we've yet to get to, that we're going to need to get to and talk about, consult on further, and involve others in thinking about as we move forward. I just want to give a caveat to this first bullet. It doesn't mean to say that we're absolutely already dead set on an outcome. Whether we keep the GCSE name or not, we're going to need to think about how a set of qualifications designed for 16-year-olds should be designed in future. What should be the principles that should govern the design of those qualifications? So there's another piece of more perhaps technical detailed work to be done around that, and we'll be pressing ahead with that next year. And not least, we need to think about which subject areas these qualifications are offered in, and then to think about how they're assessed, what the balance of knowledge, conceptual knowledge, skills, what do they actually look and feel like, and how will they be delivered, and how can they be designed to support the teaching and learning that's intended through the new curriculum. We also think that we've got an opportunity to think here about how those really core competencies of literacy, numeracy, and digital competence are assessed, how young people can best be given an opportunity to evidence what proficiency they've got, thinking about some of the downsides that we perhaps currently have with the particular focus on GCSE English and maths, for example, in the current system. So there's an opportunity to think afresh there, and we want to take the opportunity next year to explore alternative ways there of doing things than the current system allows. And then I've mentioned the Skills Challenge Certificate. We also need to think about whether what part qualifications can play in helping to bring about the new continuum for Welsh language learning. So there'll be a piece of work that we'll be doing on that. And then once we've got clarity on all those things, we'll need to think about what that means in terms of our regulations and how we'll help to use our regulatory powers to bring about the policy that we've decided through that activity. So this is a timeline. You can find this on our website. There's some postcards on your tables that tries to help set out where we are now, where we're going, and when people can expect to have an opportunity to contribute further to these decisions, and also when those in the system who are trying to plan for these changes can expect more clarity on different aspects of what the future will hold as we move forward, so they can start to plan and have some reasonable expectations about when they'll know more about the different angles so that everybody is moving forward together, because we're very conscious that qualifications reform is one part of a bigger reform journey, and there's a lot of change for people in the system to try and manage and get their heads around, and to talk to parents, learners and others around in a way that instills confidence rather than trepidation. So that's something that we're really conscious about as well. And that's it from me. I hope I've kept to time. I forgot to bring my timer up with me, I'm afraid. So as I said earlier, the consultation is live, it's online, you can respond online, you can download the questions in different formats so you can share them with others and discuss them. There is that youth-friendly version I mentioned, and that is an interactive version with specific questions tailored to that audience that can be answered, typed straight into the document that will be fed into the analysis of the responses we get to this consultation. And we've got an easy-read version for anybody who might find difficulty in accessing those other two versions as well. And again, there's questions there looking to capture responses through that. Philip mentioned earlier, we've got events running throughout the 12-week consultation period. They're drop-in sessions all around the country where people can come and talk more about these proposals to check that they've understood what it is that we're trying to set out here, so that they can then go away and make an informed and confident response to this consultation. And although Philip said earlier that discussions tonight will feed into the analysis, I hope you all also please go away from this evening inspired and enthusiastic about either yourselves responding or encouraging others to respond to the consultation, because we really need to get as good a response as we possibly can on this so that we can move forward confident that we've heard all the different voices that we need to listen to as part of this work. So thank you very much indeed. Before I pass on to the panel, we're going to do this quick little exercise to see whether you have been listening while I've been rambling on at you. So if you've been able to get onto this system, then it's quite neat. And we've just got three quick questions for you to respond to using the system. Oh, 31 responses. Well, it's on the right side of 50%, which is what I was kind of hoping for. And of course, we are going to have plenty of opportunity to discuss these as we go along. So this is just maybe just to make sure that you're still with us at this stage. Shall we move on to the second question? So, that point I said earlier that we're not asking a consultation question on, but this is your chance to give us your view nevertheless. Should we still have qualifications at 16? So a bit more agreement with that one overall. But again, that might be something that we want to discuss a little later on. We've had roughly 30 on that one as well. So shall we move on to the last one before we get onto the panel? There we go. So you've already seen this one. And it's had a little chance to think about it, perhaps. That's nice to see. So more on the vocational side there in the middle. Quality clearly important. Thinking about the assessment differently. And a bit more choice and variety. And still plenty of people also, quite rightly, urging a bit of caution about any changes. Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks very much for listening. I'll pass you across now to Oriel.
Great. Thanks very much indeed, Emma. Right, can I invite all the panellists to come up and join me, please? I'm going to put myself in the middle. So, great. We're going to be very relaxed and informal about this evening, folks. As both Philip and Emma said, we're at the beginning of a journey. It's about opening out the conversation. So I'm going to ask you each to introduce yourselves, please, and then say a little bit about what your view is of qualifications at 16, and then we're going to take it from there. Lynn, could I come to you first to introduce yourself?
Okay, so my name is Lynn Pammant, and I'm currently the senior partner for PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC in Cardiff.
Great, thank you. Rachel.
I'm Rachel Bowen. I'm Director of Policy and Public Affairs at Colega Cymru Colleges Wales.
Tracy.
I'm Tracy Handley. I'm the Programmes Manager for Parent Kind in Wales.
Great.
And
Gareth.
Gareth Evans, UWTSD. And prior to that,
I should probably
put on record that I was a former journalist and I wrote a lot about qualifications in my former life.
And for those,
so I'm coming at this from a slightly different angle, I suppose.
For those who may not know what UWTSD is.
Oh, sorry. The University of Wales, Trinity St David. Director of Education Policy nowadays. Yeah.
Great, thank you very much indeed. So Gareth, I'm going to put you on the spot straight away then. What do you think about qualifications at 16?
Well, I think I'd like to start by welcoming the contributions tonight already of Philip and Emir, and first and foremost putting on record my thanks that this is not so much a done and dusted sort of view of the qualifications Wales team. This is a genuine consultation, I think, and we are being invited to present our own thoughts. My issue, I think, or my reading of the document, was slightly sort of clouded by the suggestion or recommendation even that GCSE should be retained. Mm-hmm. And as I say, building on what Emir has said, I welcome now the opportunity to question whether or not we need GCSEs. And I suppose there's a wider conversation then about whether or not we need qualifications at 16 at all. There are two, and I'll quickly run into two reasons or two justifications for that. The first would be that I think the GCSE brand, contrary to what people have said, is a sort of tired and dated brand, first brought in 30-odd years ago by a man who now has called for them to be scrapped himself, in Kenneth Baker, the former Education Secretary of the UK government. But with GCSEs come a lot of problems, problems in terms of gaming amongst schools, added pressures on the profession, a teaching to the test, and what's more, having written over a number of years about difficulties in comparing outcomes and making sure that grade boundaries are accurate, there are year-on-year problems with marking. We know that is an issue. So I think the brand itself is up for review and should be looked at. And the second reason, I suppose, is far more fundamental. I think GCSEs are completely, in their current form, completely at odds with the new curriculum. If you're going to have a new curriculum that is very much geared to the profession, and allowing the profession to speak and teach in the way they feel appropriate for their own learners, we're not going to prescribe and tell them what to do. Their professionalism and their agency is going to dictate what they tell their pupils and how they teach their pupils. If you have then a very fixed and narrow GCSE curriculum, and subjects are compartmentalised into blocks as they are now currently, I just don't see how that's going to fit. So. And my final point, I'm probably using all my best lines right at the start, I probably should have thought about this before. I read, before I came today, the previous consultation document on the big sort of review of qualifications in 2012. I remember writing on it at the time. And one of the recommendations in that report was indeed that GCSE should be retained 7 years ago. Albeit, it was couched very clearly that in the longer term, we should consider what that might look like and whether or not we should review qualifications completely. So my question, my final point would be, if not now, when?
Okay.
And after 7 years, I think the time is right to think.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, long-winded answer to a very
simple question.
No, we're
going to pick up on some of those themes later. Tracy, you're coming at it from a parent's perspective, aren't you?
I am, yes.
What are your thoughts?
For a start, it's really nice that parents can be involved in the consultation. I think one of the things for us is listening to parents and them telling us that they want to be far more actively mm-hmm. involved in their child's education, and they don't want to sit back passively and just find out about what's going on and receive information from schools, from local authorities, from Welsh Government about what's happening to their children.
Yeah.
They want to be far more actively involved in their child's education to be able to give them the support that they need to get through the school life, being more involved in the school life generally, and be there to be able to support whatever the future holds. So whether the qualifications at 16 are an end to their school life, or the beginning of their career, or the beginning to further education and lifelong learning, they would just like more information and to be part of the discussion and the dialogue of what's going on in Welsh education.
Okay, so very much welcoming the partnership from that
yes.
perspective. Great, thank you. Rachel, what's your point of view?
Colleges Wales were obviously interested in how any new qualifications impact on post-compulsory education, whether that's vocational training,
yeah.
whether that's the academic side of things. To pick up on some of the things that Gareth said, I think it's absolutely right that we do have a conversation about whether we should retain the GCSE brand. It's not to say that we should definitely get rid of it, but the recognisability factor, I mean, Jeremy Kyle's show has got recognisability. It doesn't mean that we should bring it back. Just because something's known, it can be known for the wrong reasons as well as the right ones. You know, we've had quite a lot of trashing of the GCSE brand by various different governments in recent years. I think it's right that we look at that now. To a certain extent, because we've got the new curriculum, it doesn't really matter the extent to which GCSEs are functioning well as they are, because the new curriculum is such a dramatic change that we would need to change qualifications and to shake them up to fit in with that new curriculum if it's going to make the difference for learners, for post-compulsory education, for employers in the future anyway. So I think it's a good time to be having this debate.
Great, thank you. And Lynn, you're coming at it from an employer's perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on this GCSE brand point, which is similar to what you're saying. Whilst I can see that, you know, you might argue it's right for a change, it's something that employers think they understand. And if you're going to replace that brand with something else, then you're going to help employers navigate around, is the new brand equivalent to, better than, how can I match it and how can I understand the currency? And I think Emma talked about the currency of GCSEs, and it is something that is a currency that employers use and employers think they understand. I'm going to make a couple of other observations from an employer's perspective. The presentation, we talked about the Welsh Back and the Skills Challenge Certificate. We know from lots of research that's been done that actually children during their school years, if they have a certain number of interactions with business, they have a better employment outcome during those school years. And the Welsh Back and other parts of the curriculum do give the opportunity for interaction with employers. And in fact, there are lots and lots of employers in Cardiff and across Wales that have signed up to really want to take part in taking their businesses into schools through things like business class, but also working in terms of other activities with schools. And I just look at our own organisation, where actually you might think somebody like PwC employs graduates, but actually when I look at our recruitment team does as much activity in schools as it does with universities now. And in fact, we find ourselves going now even into primary schools to try and help in terms of the thinking of the pipeline for the choices that people are making. So there is a piece for me about understanding the currency of the qualification. And in addition to that, I think about a competitive business marketplace. I want my business to grow in Wales. Businesses want to grow in Wales. And actually, sometimes they can be competing for investment with other parts of the UK. And we need to make sure that we understand what our skills are showing. If we're going to replace GCSEs with something else, it needs to be demonstrably understandable, or even better still, better and understood to be better.
Great, thank you. That's a really good starter for 10 from everybody. The piece of work that we at the IWA did called Common Purposes was picking up on that engagement and the engagement that you were talking about as well, Tracy, in terms of people being that the partnership isn't only between a school and the parent, it's also with the local community and businesses too. I guess the thing that's changed and is still changing is that we live, and this is a truism at most events at the moment, we live in particularly uncertain times in terms of the future of the Welsh economy and the future in all sorts of different ways. So is this one change too many? I guess that's the question I want to put to the panel.
So I've probably got a bit of a point of view. When you look forward, I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it? I don't envy either Welsh Government or Qualification Wales when they're trying to sort of future-proof qualifications. And we know from research that PwC have done that actually just digital disruption in itself will put one in three jobs will be severely disruptive or won't exist in 10 years' time. And yet actually it's only 8 years' time that the first qualifications will be awarded under these new arrangements. So getting that right is a really tough ask in terms of future-proofing that. But we equally know that actually good education is the most sustainable way for people to get out of poverty as well. And we know that we suffer from severe poverty in Wales as well. So getting this right is a tough challenge, but I don't think it's one that we can or should be ignoring, or is a challenge too far, because lots of what was said in the presentation and indeed the consultation about just the number of qualifications that that are being maintained, actually just that must be a big sort of wheel in motion.
So there's a clearing through that needs to happen in any case.
That, I think, just sounds like common sense to me. In an environment where we also need to be constantly then making sure that those qualifications and the supporting courses are sufficiently flexible and agile to make them change and be.
So when we're thinking then about what are the roles or the occupations or the jobs of the future, Gareth, then, you know, there was, if you will no doubt have seen the white paper that Calvin Jones and Sophie Howe did. So we have to think about things in different ways, was their proposition. We should be thinking about caregivers, not about doctors, nurses, and so forth. And thinking about grouping together roles and ways of working that straddle divides and disciplines. What would you advise then for thinking about how qualifications can enable people to see a different set of futures for themselves?
Well, I come back to the curriculum. I mean, the curriculum was introduced to address that problem, that teaching had become too traditional, if you like, and too rigid. It wasn't very versatile, and learners were getting taught rote fashion, the same things that weren't necessarily applicable to their wants and their needs. The curriculum is all about repositioning what we mean by teaching and learning, what we want of our pupils in the 21st century. And I just think that if we miss the opportunity to consider what qualifications we might want at any, if any, at 16, it's a missed chance, because it doesn't come with the rest of the package, if you like. And I don't buy the suggestion that there is too much change in the system and therefore we can't change qualifications. Well, and you know, whether we like it or not, the system is changing across the board. You know, we're looking at and to the Welsh Government's credit, you know, they're not doing this by half. You know, we're reforming teacher education, we're reforming professional learning, professional standards. Just about everything in education is changing. So I just think it would be slightly odd if GCSEs remained over there in the corner. Okay, we're talking, I think everybody would agree that GCSEs have to change to a point. But I don't think we should be limiting that change. And it would be odd if they were just sort of frozen out as the thing we couldn't touch because, I don't know, we're changing too much and we don't want to risk it. You know, we are being bold, we are being courageous as a system. We are taking a huge leap of faith in terms of our curriculum offer. And I think we should really consider what qualifications we might need at the end of that.
So what would then, Rachel, what would give the kinds of confidence, because that's a theme that's already come through this evening, the kinds of confidence that higher education and further education colleges would want, and the kind of confidence that parents, Tracy, would want in terms of what our children will come out with at 16. Rachel?
I think the point here is about what we expect qualifications to do. What is it qualifications are for? Is it to test young people's tight knowledge of a particular topic? For instance, I don't think it's that important that young people can name Henry VIII's wives, but I do think it's important that they can differentiate between fake news and the opinions of somebody like David Irving, who's a Holocaust denier. What is it that we want qualifications to be testing? What sort of systems do we need that create the resilient learners who are in the future able to be resilient and change occupations and adapt to an ever-changing world? What is it that we want the qualification system in Wales to achieve for whatever those learners then go on to do in their post-compulsory education training, their work? I had a quick look through some of the Prince's Trust research that came out in February this year, and over half of young people think they put too much pressure on themselves to succeed. More than a quarter feel like they're going to fail in life. And I think it's really important that we don't design a qualification system that reinforces those kinds of beliefs, those negative beliefs, and the stress on young people.
That's a key issue, isn't it? And particularly in terms of well-being and the greater focus on well-being, and particularly on mental health for teenagers coming through the system. Tracy, you must see that from a different perspective from parent kind.
Yes. Our annual parent survey, parents tell us that over 94% of them think that good schooling goes way beyond good exam results.
one of the biggest concerns at the moment is their child's health and well-being. So the pressure of exams is always a biggie for us, parents saying, how can we support, what can we do, is there a need for exams at 16? So some of this discussion around particularly vocational education and vocational standards is something that's of interest to a lot of parents, particularly those, we talked earlier about the levels in GCSEs, yep. And people absolutely understanding at the moment what a GCSE is. Parents who don't understand levels, I'm going through it with my youngest at the moment, he's 16, so he's the last of five children between myself and my husband. And the difference in looking at exams from my oldest, who's almost 30, to the 16-year-old, we are talking far more about vocational qualifications. Okay. What does it mean to do GCSEs? If you stay on to do A-levels, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going on to university. So there's far more discussion around what these qualifications mean. So if you're making choices at 14 to do GCSEs, at the moment you're going, okay, in 2 years' time I'm going to be taking these qualifications, which may lead to X, Y, Z. There's far more opportunity to have those discussions at this time to say, is it a vocational opportunity for me? And I think it all comes down to understanding and having those discussions. So whether it's with schools, whether it's with the examination boards or anybody else, it's about getting more information out there for people to make active choices and more informed choices, really.
So a really big communications challenge, I think, back to Qualifications Wales, isn't there, in terms of how that conversation, that this ongoing conversation happens outside the formal requirements of the consultation process itself. Okay, I'm conscious we've got till about 6:45 before we go into breakout groups. So I'm going to throw it open to the to all of you. I can see some hands itching to go up, and I know there's one up over here. And I'm just going to gather two or three at a time. Okay, could you introduce yourself, please? And if you are representing an organisation, say who you're coming from. Over here first, and then Laura, the next one over here, please.
Good evening. My name is Ian Courtney, and I work for an organisation called Wesley Clover Corporation. For those who aren't familiar, it's the ultimate holding company for a range of business interests chaired by a gentleman by the name of Matthews, Sir Terry Matthews. So we have interests in, obviously, the Celtic Manor Resort. But underlying that is a lot of technology companies, which is the reason I'm here. I have just three very, very brief, you'll be reassured to know, Oriel, points to make. The first is a comment on the economy. Wales has a woeful productivity record. Now, that occurs for any number of reasons, but one of them is the barriers to growth by a poor skills, reserve of skills, less so education. That must be tackled. The second point is actually related to my first point. I've picked up on the fact that the curriculum body, the regulator, are looking at digital competence. Who knows where in 10 years' time what kind of skills will be required? Because I have to say, my time in the particular sector, coding languages come and go so rapidly that no teacher or lecturer could prepare a student for a language that at the end of a five-year learning period for GCSEs or 2 years for A-levels, it will be redundant. So we have to look at kind of flexibility there. And Wesley Clover is always available because we deal with these kind of things. For folks to come to us, we have views on these. We're perhaps very happy to share those. And finally, I would like to echo what Gareth said, because, and I'm sorry, Lynn, I'm going to be a contrarian. I don't think employers care less about GCSEs. You may label it an incumbent brand, but what actually employers that we speak to are concerned about is the actual content of those examination and qualifications. And if it is time after 30 years for GCSEs to be canned, then so be it.
Thank you very much indeed, Ian.
Thank you. My name's David Smith. I'm Secretary of Co-ops and Mutuals Wales. But prior to that, I had a background in cooperative and community development and spent 20 years in further education, teaching City and Guilds and BTEC. And so I'm currently serving on a Qualifications Wales Assessment Design High-Level Steering Group, chaired by June Jenkins. And I find this quite an interesting experience. I was representing WCVA on this group. What struck me most from the one meeting I attended, because we actually joined the journey, I think, nearer Reading than Swindon, was that there didn't seem to be much appetite for change. It really struck me. And clearly, the changes that take place in the context of Welsh BAC will need to be congruent with a new curriculum. And then when I heard with delight comments under qualification and curriculum, ambitious and capable learners, enterprise, creative contribution, critically informed citizens, health, you know, confident individuals, I mean, you know, it just lifts the heart, doesn't it, when you hear those sorts of words. But I'm just wondering, you know, how we get over this lack of, this inertia that exists in the system. Like, if the high-level group are wanting to bring about change and the gatekeepers are practitioners, how does change actually take place? So that, for example, the key point that I made at that six-hour session, I felt, was the importance of looking at different business models that one could expect towards the end of 2027, 2030. And I'm thinking about changes in the Welsh economy that are being promoted through foundational economy pilots that are currently being undertaken. If you look at 12 foundational economy social care pilots that have been approved by the Deputy Minister recently, four of those actually emphasise the importance of the cooperative difference and creating cooperative pioneers. And that didn't strike me as something that really was understood by people in the room at the meeting that I attended. I'm sure they're very competent, very well-meaning, but I sense that their background was such that it was like narrow and limited. I didn't feel really necessarily that they or teachers had a background in civic engagement or being active citizens and so on.
So David, is your question then to Qualifications Wales in terms of what evidence is there for the appetite for change? Is that, am I right in hearing that on the one hand?
It's how do we support and enable them to make the change, to make the difference that's actually required. And okay. So that we develop the sort of partnership that Tracy was talking about, but it needs to include a wider range of actors than are currently being considered. The word community, for example, doesn't feature at all in the, I think it was the Wavehill research that was commissioned that the design group actually considered. So where does community actually fit into? How do varied community interests actually support beyond, if you like, what traditional business can?
Okay, thank you very much indeed. So some really interesting challenges there to pick up on. Would anybody like to? Tracy?
If I can pick up particularly on the community aspect, we're in a fantastic position at the moment with the new curriculum, the development and implementation, where we're looking at developing the curriculum specifically for local areas. So where are you going to get the information from if you don't partner with local businesses, local community? Where are you going to get that local knowledge from to put into context, the wider context? And then come up with, well, how are we going to measure the opportunity to get input from the wider community, from parents? How are we going to get engagement, consultation, participation of people
to come together to make decisions and say, this is what we think it's going to look like or what it should look like. So for me, the community development aspect of things really needs to be there. Yes.
So there's some interesting, I think there's some interesting things here around how we're talking about something fundamental that is going to change both the ability of our young people to engage with the future, and whatever that future is. And I think, Ian, you make a really good point. I'm going to pull you away from your phone there. You ask a question, so we're going to kind of trying to answer it. In terms of, we don't know what that future is going to look like. So it is precisely, as Gareth was saying, the threads of the curriculum that are going to enable and encourage people to, and young people in particular, to engage with the world in a very, very different way. So that's an important one. But is there something here about we've got to have broader conversations across policy divides? We've got to have conversations that get outside of the education people and get outside of the business people and get outside of people who work in communities and with co-ops, because lots of people have lots of different identities. So Tracy, your point about engaging with local communities, how much do we all know about the local economies of the places where we live? And I'm going to plug at this point, because it's a perfect opportunity, a project that my colleague Eleanor Shepley has been working on, which is called Understanding Welsh Places, that pulls together publicly available data, if you go to understandingwelshplaces.wales, for all communities in Wales with more than 1,000 people in it. And it shows you, well, Eleanor, can you give us a wave so people can grab you later? She's sitting in the middle. A bigger wave, please. Thank you. And it shows you what how dependent, interdependent and independent places are one of another on a range of socioeconomics. It's all publicly available data. What we've done is handily brought it together in a place that supports the narrative of what that place is about, both in the past, in the present, and what it could be in the future. So, Gareth, you're making waves.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to both contributions, really, and I wanted to pick up on your point and your word, your word inertia. And it's an inertia that runs across the system at the moment, so I don't think that's unique to qualifications and what we might do with the business and wider communities. That inertia is inherent in the system, because we've been, all of us, as a system, as educators, been taught to do things in a certain way, and now we're being liberated to do things very differently. That takes a lot of energy, time, is a key word we've perhaps forgotten tonight, time, and trust.
And resources.
Well, and resources.
And
yeah.
Resources.
I couldn't possibly comment on the resources question, that's for somebody else.
No, we can. But
yeah, certainly. But yes, a very valid point. But trust is crucial. And my concern is that people talk about everybody being on board, everybody diving in and engaging with the curriculum reform and all the other reforms that we're doing, because they are being delivered very much with the system and the profession in mind, probably for the first time in a long time. But I don't think we're quite there yet. That trust is hard earned and easily lost.
Indeed.
And it will take time to win over that profession, who are coming aboard slowly, but this will, I suppose my point is, it will take a long time to get everybody on board and to make sure these reforms work. So inertia is true, I think, across the system. And even in terms of, if I was to be brutally honest, universities working with universities, we haven't always worked together. FE colleges, slightly better than that, the HE community, I think, but there is a lot of us that need to step out of that comfort zone and start working across sectors.
That's a really, because I challenge you on the system, because the system is everybody who works in it and everybody who's engaged by it. So the inertia is incumbent on everybody. So we need to put that on one side, I think, and just do what needs to be done.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you think of specifically of qualifications, you'd be hard pressed to find a secondary teacher in Wales now who wasn't concerned and interested in the future of qualifications. So we've got this strange position now, haven't we, in 2019, whereby the qualifications or new qualifications will come in 6 years' time. And why then would those secondary GCSE teachers be inclined to jump aboard the Donaldson curriculum reforms now, knowing that things might look very, very different in 5 or 6 years' time? And if you go around the system and you speak to schools and you speak to teachers, that is the big elephant. Well, it's not an elephant anymore, it's front and centre. That is everybody's concern. They are not going to jump until they know what they're being benchmarked against. So that is an issue, number one. But just responding quickly to Ian's point, Ian touched upon skills. and content, I think, in essence. And again, those are two things that we've got to iron out as a system, and we've got to have some really strong and open conversations about what skills we want of our young people. Donaldson writes them fairly broadly, but we've got to be clear now what exactly we want our learners to come out of their compulsory education with, and how does that look in terms of content? How does that manifest it in what they are taught in years 10 and 11? Because at the moment, if we let every school in Wales do as they see fit by their own learners, Qualifications Wales is going to have a nightmare. WJC is going to have a nightmare. How on earth are they going to pull that together into a comparable qualification that is transferable across boundaries? This is not an easy task.
No, I think that's very clear indeed. Lynn and Rachel, I'm going to come to you next. What we learned from our education piece of work earlier in the year was that the process of reform in Scotland had got really over-focused on qualifications at the end of it. And Amir, I might come to you and pick up on some of that. But Gareth's challenges there about seeing what bank of the river you're jumping to and making sure that that's solid ground before you jump is an important one. But you're also building the bridge across the river at the same time, aren't you? So how are you going to do that? So how are we going to do that?
I guess I've got a couple of observations, and I will come back on Ian's points as well, because I think we are agreeing in a different way about content here in terms of whatever the qualifications are. The point I make around sort of understanding the currency is what we don't want to do is to reform in a way that employers aren't taken on the journey of understanding what it is that they should be looking for from the employees that they seek to recruit. What we don't want to do is to end up with an unintended consequence out of the end result, the sort of jump across the river, whereby actually do employers know what to look for in their potential recruits? And in the same terms, in content as well, actually, if we're going to make Wales a more prosperous place for everybody, then we need to make sure that actually we address the productivity gap that you quite rightly refer to. And how do we do that? Well, actually, we want educational attainment to be greater across a greater proportion of the population has to be part of that piece as well. But there is a piece for me, I guess two other observations really, which is we've got to understand the consequences of what we're doing and educate not just the people that are in schools. So if this is going to work as a new system, then teachers have to be making the right choices that make coherent sense. And we see some evidence in terms of actually when you look at the jobs of tomorrow, they are going to be dependent on the right subjects being taught in schools. At the moment, there is such a vast variety of GCSEs that are taught and available. And yes, we've got curriculums around that, but actually if we're making the wrong choices and encouraging people to set the wrong qualifications, then you still don't end up with the employees fit for tomorrow's job. So there does need to be a help in terms of helping teachers make the right choices of the qualifications they choose to teach. And part of that goes back into the system of, well, actually schools are driven by their percentage of attainment at A star to C grades, so they teach the subjects that they're best taught, that they're best able to get those grades in. That's not always the answer for employers. I think there's also an education of parents as well, and I guess my unintended consequence around parents and also the pupils as well is that parents navigate with their children the choices that the children make. So how do we equip parents to help children make the right choices? And I certainly know I've got a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, and when they came to me at 14 with sort of choices, I didn't fully understand, and yet I would hope that I was relatively educated and could help them navigate that. And then when my son, and he will forgive me for saying this, wasn't going to pass his computer science GCSE and was directed down a different course, I don't know what qualification he ended up with. I can name it, but I don't know how equivalent or not that is to anything. So there is an education and communication process so parents help children make the right choices and understand what they end up with schools when they leave schools. And there is this, you know, employer engagement piece as well, which, yes, does happen, but actually we do need to take employers with us on the journey to enable employers to have the right input into that. And one final piece on that for me is, when you speak to most employers, what they really want is highly literate, highly numerate, and people with good digital skills coming out of schools. They are prepared to put the investment in and to mould those skills and understanding, and that is the next phase that you talk about in terms of the consultation. I think that will be really important with employers, because actually what we see, and we see it time and time again when we engage with employers, is actually making sure you've got the right level of those core skills that are coming into their workplace.
Thank you. Rich, what do you want to add to that before we go back out for some more questions? That's your cue to get thinking.
I think we need to remember that Wales is not homogenous. Yeah. So when we're talking about young people, when we're talking about parents and families, when we're talking about communities and businesses, that actually Wales has got an incredibly diverse population that I don't think is something that has come up in the discussion enough tonight. And I know it's something that's already been raised as part of the Twitter discussion. So in terms of the consultation by Qualifications Wales, I would hope that you're not just going to wait for people to respond, because then your chances are you will get the usual suspects, you will get organisations like Colega Cymru who will put in our responses, you will hear from the usual suspects. You want to hear from diverse communities and maybe seek out those organisations where people don't have a tradition of responding, to get their input into making a qualification system that works for the whole of Wales for the 21st century. I think in terms of productivity, part of the problem around that is that our young people's potential, all our young people's potential in all its diversity, is not being tapped fully. I think in terms of taking employers with us, absolutely, but there is a responsibility on employers to engage with the system as well. They're not just passive recipients of qualifications. They need to get involved and shape the system, that it's not something that just the supply side, the delivery side, can do alone, and then the employment sector gets to kind of go, well, that's not really what we wanted. No, well, if it's not what you want, you need to get involved now, and now is your opportunity to do that. So again, you know, kind of, if you're not hearing Qualifications Wales from the people that you need to hear from, I would hope that you will do an analysis of who's responded and seek out those gaps.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
One
Thank
final
you.
Point,
yes.
That we're not just talking about qualifications at 16 here. That is obviously the basis. You know, we are focused on the qualification review system, but it is not just about what you do at 16. We should be creating learning dispositions that people accept. They will change career. They will need new skills. They will do different jobs throughout the course of their working lives, and we need to create a system and an understanding that that is the new normal. But what you do at 16 matters, but is not the be-all and end-all of everything. You might change career several times. You might retrain in your 30s, 40s, 50s,
yep.
And that needs to be the expectation.
And that's a really important point in terms of longevity as well, isn't it? So the old model of education, work, retirement, that's just bust out the water and has been so for a very long time. And I read I'm sure it's been out for a while, but read a really interesting book called The 100 Year Life that sets out the data behind that. So I highly recommend it to thinking about how you enable those transitions. And this is just one transition, isn't it, to whether it's further education to employment or to training that we're talking about this evening. Question over there, Laura, please, and then from the lady in pink and grey in front, and then the mic, and then over to here. So three questions.
Sorry, I've got a bit of a sore throat, so if you can't hear me clearly. I'm Maimuna. I'm a graduate, but I don't work at the moment. I'm looking for work. I just wanted to reiterate what Rachel just said. I tweeted you, by the way. Excellent. Well, and you've literally just said everything I wanted to say. Just to pick up on a few points, in terms of employers looking for people with qualifications, I think you'll find that a lot of people, particularly from minority backgrounds, we're situated in an area now where it's nearly 20% black and minority ethnic. Where is the representation of that in this room, first of all? Secondly, you'll find that black graduates in particular, in relation to the black attainment gap, there's huge issues there with schools in relation to discrimination and racism. That hasn't been mentioned, except for what Rachel just said. And we're applying for jobs in terms of black graduates, but we're not getting the jobs. We have the qualifications, but there's issues around discrimination and bias and racism. So I think these issues need to be taken into account when discussing such issues.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Maimuna. Lady in pink and grey here.
Hello, my name's Jessica Lee Jones. I'm a board member at WJC and also the Institute for Apprenticeships and Technical Education. I also work for a large employer, Sony. My views are completely my own, though I will put that out there. Just wanted to pick up on something that Ian said just now about sort of teaching coding skills as an example. We have a habit of chasing fads. Okay, we teach a bit of C, we teach a bit of Python, and it changes all the time. I still don't know what digital skills mean. Okay, I'm an engineer. Digital to me is ones and zeros. Are we proposing that we teach everybody binary? Probably not. So there's still a lot about us maybe not quite being able to articulate what those skills that young people need are, and so we chase these fads. The other thing that's been mentioned tonight is about how jobs will disappear. Jobs are at risk. Technology will replace jobs, but new jobs will also be created as a result of technology, and that's the piece of the story that sometimes we don't talk about. That's a very exciting opportunity because it gives us the opportunity as people to be more creative and therefore to be more human. And we should talk about that more often. And so my question is, how in a new curriculum and how with new qualifications will we teach people how to think? How will we move away from what we do currently, which is teaching people to answer questions, and actually teach people to ask questions?
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Jessica. And then the gentleman over here in the glasses, please.
Hi, my name is Paul Davis. I'm from Rubicon Dance. I just wanted to make a point of where we are as an employer, but also having to shift into a responsibility of education. Because of the changes that have been apparent in secondary education with regards to GCSE, the dance sector in Wales is seeing a deficit in GCSE dance provision and A-level. So we as an employer are having to position ourselves to take the responsibility to create the workforce of the future. And talking about the focus on digital, which is a huge factor, another factor that is really crucial within the dance sector is health, and primarily prevention. And this is going to be a huge area of development for the art sector. And we require a workforce that's going to be equipped to be able to drive initiatives to prevent illness in the future. What concerns me in looking at the presentation tonight is the focus on the principles. I think young people that engage with us as an organization are very diverse. We are working with NEETs, we are working with people who are physically disabled, people who've got learning needs, also really academic people who want to move into a creative arts sector. But because there is a deficit of provision in secondary school, we as an employer now are having to shape that whole pathway of development. My concern in looking at this as a vision moving forward is in the principles, I'm a little concerned that you're not looking at the demographic of learners, because we've had a lot of learners that have come to us where the GCSE provision has failed them because they've not been able to fit into the model. So it's great to see that you are benchmarking against other provision and the cohort of subjects, but where is the discussion about your demographic within society? So going back to the lady over there, in terms of ethnic minorities and disabled, why do we need a qualification that puts everybody in a box? Let's look at a qualification that actually can be more flexible and adaptable and can actually perhaps appreciate and drive value in the learner so that they can be more confident to make the choices. Because what we see when people come to our building is after we've dealt with their confidence issues, because they've been forced to fit into a box, actually what they start to do is be much more free thinking and much more entrepreneurial. So you see people on social media creating their own websites and they are earning money. So there are other areas of development. So whatever plan is going forward, please listen to the kinds of learners. They have a voice as well. Let's not just imprint on them something that will not work.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. I'm conscious of time because we want to make sure. So I'm not going to give the panel, I'm afraid, an opportunity to come back on those questions because we want to hear more of everybody's voices around the tables now. So could I ask the people at the back to move forward to the front six places? And Laura and Barbara will make sure there are chairs available for you, please, so you don't have to stand and hover. There are questions on each of the tables, and there is a facilitator on each table. Could the facilitators wave their hands, please, so we know who you are? Thank you very much. And there is one table for Welsh speakers if you want to speak Welsh specifically. Which one's the Welsh table? Okay. It's mixed, is it now? Okay. Meantime, because it's possible to walk and clap, could you say thank you to the panel, please? Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. We've got 20 minutes for breakouts, and then the chairs of each session are going to feed back at the end at about quarter past seven. Okay? Okay, everybody, I'm going to give you a minute or so to wrap up, and then we'd like to hear back from the chairs of each table, please. Okay, so we're going to start with the table at the front with Claire from Qualifications Wales feeding back, and then Laura will pass the mic round to the next table. We're taking note of all of this, and Andy in the corner over here, give us a wave, Andy, is writing a note that will be shared, obviously, with everybody who's taken part this evening and more broadly as well. Claire, it should be on already, I think.
No pressure.
It's always good to go first.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Well, great conversation, as I'm sure everyone's had. Not sure if we really stuck to any of the questions, but we've gone off piece, but we've got three things to report back.
Would you mind standing up just so everybody can see you? Yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah, sure. Sorry.
That's fine. Don't worry, Claudia. So I think we want to ask, how does the academic relate to the vocational? We need a little bit of a flexible system, is what the table felt. We need a process and a system that measures capability and skills in addition to knowledge. We need to make sure that pre-16 education gets the best out of all learners and to think outside the box on how we can achieve this. So we have got someone from work-based learning here who has to pick up some of the pieces later on. The next one was, before we make decisions on qualifications, we need to know, what does Welsh Government think and what is their decision at the need for qualifications at 16?
Okay.
And the one last thing, sorry, is we need to rebuild the confidence of our practitioners to be able to deliver a successful curriculum for the future and a qualification system and confidence and support for the workforce.
From the workforce.
Sorry, that was
great.
Thank you.
That's some really thoughtful feedback there. Next table, I think we're going across the front, Amir.
Yeah, so time management, clearly not my strong point, so you won't be surprised to know that we didn't get through all five questions. But just a few key points, I think. So one of them, thinking around the need for qualifications, a few interesting points that I thought came through was thinking about the role of qualifications for not just from the point of view of the learners and the practitioners delivering courses leading to those qualifications, but the uses that wider range of stakeholders make of, you know, the reliance placed on what the information those qualifications give you about a young person needs to be borne in mind as well. So there's that sort of that's another reason perhaps that having qualifications at 16 is important. We talked about the fact that there needs to be, and it speaks to the third principle, that something for everyone to choose from, and that there are still many people who don't have a level two qualification here in Wales, and there are people who still leave your education without acquiring one. So making sure that there are the right range of qualifications that are there, wherever your starting point, that are within your reach, that will stretch you but not be beyond you. So that was another key point. And there was another one around a lot of assessment that goes on in the education system up until 16, is perhaps not as may not be seen to be as standardized or as rigorous as something that is then brought in through an external assessment, external qualification at 16. There's something quite important there about benchmarking and having some common expectations of understanding where people are getting to. And then just finally, there was, I'm trying to think which one of these I was going to pick up most. The sense that there's a challenge in communicating that new GCSEs could be very different to the old GCSEs and the assumptions that people might make, but then also the challenge of ensuring that people believe you when you say that a new qualification, newly branded, is just as good, if not better, than what came before. And that wasn't always the view after O-levels went and GCSEs came in. There was not a universal view that perhaps what came afterwards was a step up. So perhaps right that we focus on how we make sure that the qualifications themselves are genuinely better and a step forward, rather than also having to worry about what we call them, how we market them, and how we persuade everybody that they're as good as what they've got over the border and elsewhere.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. Over here, Kate.
So we covered quite a lot of ground. Some of it actually is probably more relevant to future consultations than this one, so we'll park some of that, but we covered quite a lot that was relevant to this. The two I'll pick out was a conversation around the skills base and the importance of that. One of the questions at the table was, a learner can be academically very well equipped, but who's teaching them the common sense? So that there's something there around making sure we are incorporating the kind of skills like creativity, problem solving, communication, or all those kind of skills that are going to matter. And also just making the most of the opportunities that are there that probably already exist. So, for example, we know that we've got sort of partnerships between businesses and schools, but can we focus those and make them work a bit harder through what's coming next? And also making the most of opportunities for building more aspiration as well, where we might unlock opportunities and sort of learners and families that may be not as blessed in social capital as others, where we've got a chance to do something different there around the sort of skills base. So that was the skills bit of it. And then we talked about whether or not we support GCSEs going forward as a brand. And by the way, we think it is possible to support the brand without supporting the exact content of GCSEs, because that can change through evolution. Regardless of that, what we know we'll need going forward is a common language. So from the point of view of parents, for example, when we're looking at qualifications, we want to know what's it the equivalent of. So we've got a system where we have A-star to G in Wales, we have 9-1 in England. We need to be able to make sense of all of that alongside each other. And one point that actually we hadn't thought of, but when we're talking about recruitment in employers, let's not forget that recruitment taking place for Wales may not always be happening within Wales. Mm. So that's something that we need to keep in mind as well. Mm. So that kind of common language of qualifications is always going to matter. Did I miss anything important from our table?
No, okay, thanks for checking back. Great. Over here.
Brilliant. So I think some of the things have been covered earlier, but we had quite a broad discussion. So around the first question, that we've assumed qualifications will be needed for learners at 16, there was a kind of a feeling of who are the we in this, wherever we considered the sort of the learner voice in this, and that the kind of that's quite a fixed pathway, and actually we need more flexibility perhaps in the attainment pathway, and the curriculum is more about progression, and it's not a fixed point in time you have a qualification or an assessment, but actually that doesn't necessarily reflect how people learn. And then in terms of the principles, we've got a few things. So the first one about relating to the curriculum, we recognise that's really important, but there's this tension between perhaps needing to fit the new curriculum being coherent, but also then what's valued outside of Wales and the understanding of that as well. So that's something that needs to be managed. And then in terms of the bilingual availability, it was kind of not, we didn't really feel that was a question that should almost be a given, but actually the more interesting question is perhaps how are Welsh medium resources, teaching and learning resources adequately kind of supported to help teachers who are delivering through that medium. Mm-hmm. So those were some of the things. And in terms of other principles we should consider, there was a feeling that perhaps the learner is not quite given enough prominence in these principles. Although people have been very encouraged that we've got a youth-friendly version and we're going to be going out engaging with young people. So.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, next table.
Okay, so being nearly one of the last tables means you start to run out of things to say, so because a lot of the comments
what can you add?
Around, yeah, so I think some of the things I will add is around, I guess, a bit more of the wider system that we started talking about. So the first one around the qualifications at 16, there was a feeling on our table that they should be there, but there's lots of other pressures around that those qualifications which can have negative impacts, whether that's for a learner, whether that's for a centre, and the system more widely, and just remembering it, that it's the learner who needs to use the qualification in the future and no one else. So I think that was
a good reminder
that came out of there. Going into the principles, I think our table also said that Welsh and English availability is a given, but thinking about the progression, so again the wider system of if you get the opportunity to learn through the medium at 16, there needs to be that opportunity then through further education and higher education and lifelong learning to make sure there's a continuum there. And then finally around, I guess, the GCSE brand, I think the table had the view that there should be a brand, whether that's the GCSE brand or not, but they think a clear and consistent brand, so I think it goes back to what the table over here was saying, and that clear communications is essential to make sure that the whole system and the wider public, employers and so on, understand.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. And last but by no means least. But you can stand up as well, because everybody else has. Please.
To avoid any repetition, I'll focus my points on two or three things. In terms of the GCSE brand, I think there was less of a view on whether or not we should retain the brand, but these qualifications are fit for purpose and that they assess the right skills. How do we get people to critically think? But I think the view was that we should take our steer in terms of retaining the GCSE name from research. And whether that research suggests that would help our learners to become independent learners and the extent to which retaining it would actually ensure portability and currency or not. In terms of the principles, I think there was a view that perhaps we were missing a trick in terms of having a specific principle around assessment. Again, coming back to how can we get these learners to demonstrate the skills that we need for the future, and also how does this discussion around qualifications for 16-year-olds, or typically taken by 16-year-olds, fit into wider educational government policies? We had references to recent consultation by Welsh Government on apprenticeship frameworks. So how is this all joined up, if you like?
Very good challenge.
And again, reiterating the point that that Rachel made as part of the panel, for us to seek the views from a wide range of communities and to do so sooner rather than later.
Great. Good. Thank you very much indeed.
Hope I've covered everything.
Now, I'm in the fortunate position of not needing to summarise all of that this evening, because I think Philip's going to do it. So over to you, Philip. Thank you.
It's the graveyard slot, isn't it? Everyone wants to go. So I'm not going to try and summarise everything, but I'm actually going to try and draw out four broad themes which I think underlie much of the discussion this evening. So one is that there's a variable appetite for change. And if we look at the GCSE brand, I think that exemplifies this variable appetite for change. So on the one hand, it's a known brand within which we think there is the scope to make some really quite big and fundamental changes without having to go through the overhead of changing everybody's perceptions of a qualification, or rather I should say, the system's understanding of a qualification. On the other hand, it comes with quite a lot of baggage. So I think those are things that we need to weigh up and we need to think about in terms of this variable appetite for change. Second thing which I think comes through is, in fact, my next two points are going to be two bete noirs of mine. So the first is the confusion between curriculum and qualifications. They're quite distinctly different things. We cannot, should not, and must not expect qualifications to do everything that we expect in terms of education for 14 to 16-year-olds. It's completely wrong. A qualification can only ever sample the domain of knowledge that is being looked at. And a lot of the things that have come out today are around skills, attitudes, dispositions in learners, being ready for lifelong learning and the like. How are you going to have a qualification that tests somebody's knowledge of those sorts of things? They're things that are innately difficult to assess. So there has to be a broader focus on education at 14 to 16. And I think we have to be realistic about what we can expect qualifications to do. So that's bête noire number one of mine. Second one relates to, I think, the thing that drives an awful lot of the negative perceptions about GCSEs, which is school-based accountability and performance measures. So it is right that the education system is accountable for what it does. I think that, again, we place too much pressure on qualifications to do that. So what we end up doing is counting what we can count rather than counting what's important. We aren't looking at the breadth of curriculum, we aren't looking at the quality of instruction, and we aren't looking at school cultures and school climate in a balanced way. There is too much focus on qualifications. And again, if we think about the pressure on qualifications, if there's this difference between curriculum and qualification, there has to be a difference between accountability and qualification outcomes and attainment. It's important. It just needs to be balanced. And I think that drives an awful lot of people's perceptions. So that's bête noire number three of mine, and I'm happy to talk to anyone for hours about that one. Fourth one is around well-being. I think there's a real theme about well-being here, and I think there's a real theme about breadth of qualification offer so that there's something for all learners, and that's what we're trying to drive at with that third principle. I've called it a couple of times the Goldilocks principle. It's got to be just right. You know, it's getting it. And actually, if we think about those first two principles, they may create quite a lot of pressure to reduce the number of qualifications, but might that go too far? And that third principle becomes a balancing one, because we may end up using our commissioning powers to fill those gaps and make sure that there is something for everyone. That means choice for the learner. That means being able to progress things that are of interest, but also being able to progress the things that society thinks are important. So there's something there which I think is essential. And the last thing from a well-being perspective is making sure that the pressures on the individual are appropriate and proportionate. So I think all of us have done qualifications. I did my O-levels and A-levels. I, like you, Auriel, was in the O-level era. So in those days, there was always pressure associated with you as an individual to perform well in a qualification. But the system has become very, very pressurised. It's become very pressurised for schools, and that pressure gets transferred onto learners. So there's got to be something about trying to think about being proportionate in this, that qualifications don't drive the wrong behaviours, which then have an impact on learners' well-being. So four things from me. One is this variable appetite for change, which the GCSE brand exemplifies. Second, we've got to be distinctive in thinking about curriculum and qualifications. They're different. Third, accountability and all of the bad things that that might drive. There has to be a better way of holding schools to account for the things that are important. And fourthly, thinking about the well-being of learners to make sure that the pressures that are placed on them by qualifications are proportionate and don't drive mental health issues and stress. So I think those were the four things that I wanted to draw out from the conversation this evening. I don't know, am I handing back to you to close, or shall I?
Absolutely, Candy.
I'll do that. But from me and from Qualifications Wales, thank you very much, everyone, for taking part in this. We do genuinely welcome all of your contributions. Said we have captured some this evening, so this will go into feedback, but we would encourage all of you, as Emir has already done, to go online, go to the consultation and give us your views directly, because you'll be able to do much more there. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much indeed.
I have nothing additional to add to the list of themes. It's always interesting to see how people sum up a really wide range of issues from a conversation like this evening. I think my reflections coming to this is that it's been a very thoughtful, reflective conversation, and this is only one in a number of conversations. So I would really encourage you to keep that engagement going and to talk with others about, and invite others into those spaces, for and go out and find them as well. in terms of feeding in. We'll make sure that the link, obviously, to the consultation goes out in the follow-up. And I'd really encourage you to keep going and keep talking about what it means, because it's just not an easy thing to grapple with, rather you than me, frankly. But I think one of the things for the IWA, which is important about this, is we want to be helping think through these really chunky issues about what is going to shape the future of Wales and the people who live and work and want to make their future in Wales too. And whether they start in Wales and end up somewhere else, or whether people come to Wales at different points in their lives. And I think those sorts of challenges and these sorts of challenges are really important. The conversation needs to be open, it needs to be inclusive, it needs to be reflective, and it needs to be challenging. So thank you very much indeed. I've learned a great deal. Hope you have too. Thank you.